Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. We got a lot to talk about today. We're talking about walleye numbers in northern Wisconsin. What's going on with that? Red Lake fish numbers and for walleye. What's happened there? And we're also going to talk about edible invasive species for those of you that want to help produce invasive species in your area. Don, it's going to be a fun show. Ava, good to have you with us. We'll be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Good to see you, Donald.
Yeah, it's good to be back in the studio.
Ava?
I'm here.
What were you doing last?
Last week?
Yeah.
Last week I was probably
turkey
hunting.
Yeah, yeah. We got to hear about that.
And so I teased that out of him?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things I was doing last week, but that was one of them. I mean, I was fortunate enough to choose one of the worst seasons this year.
I know.
The week where it was so cold and windy.
A bit rainy.
Rainy. Literally, I on the season B on the Monday, it gives me one more day after that is all. Yep. I got out real early in my blind. It was cold. There was snow on top of my blind. but I got settled in and was very fortunate to have a Tom come racing across the field. I hadn't seen this motivated of a Tom in a while, but he didn't even fluff his feathers.
And the race is on.
Yep, and
coming down the
back. I don't know if he got beat up by all the other guys or the other girls out there.
Run.
Or what, but he got in distance, and I got him with one shot.
You got a Forrest Gump turkey.
Yeah, well, he's that could be.
He got his running shoes.
He's a 21.5 pounder. Maybe I'll throw a picture on our Facebook page.
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
That's where they belong. We always encourage people to post up any pictures you have on the website.
So. You know, the most amazing thing about it, though, is I had a friend of mine that shared with me that you could make turkey jerky out of your turkey. And so I took the bird to a local locker plant where he recommended, and I dropped the bird off, and the first thing he asked me is, I asked him, can you make turkey jerky? He goes, of course. He said, when did you get the bird? I said, about 3 hours ago, 2 hours ago. And he said, great. So he took the tail, the fan off and the beard. He had about a 9-inch beard.
Nice bird.
And I went on my merry way thinking, I'll get a call in a couple weeks. Noon the next day, I get a call. He says, your jerky's ready. I go, you got to be kidding. He says, great, I'll be over. So I went over about an hour and a half later. And I said, how do you do this so fast? He says, I did it right after you dropped it off. Put it in the smoker. It smoked all night. Ready this morning. Try to keep ahead of it. So anyway, it turned out excellent.
So you'll be bringing some of those in.
Yeah. I just told Ava earlier, I said, apologize for not bringing some in.
Yeah, me and the twins
fine.
Are wondering where that turkey's at.
Yeah, I'll bring a package.
The unfortunate part is, we were looking for deer jerky or deer sticks.
Right.
But somebody didn't have those.
No,
made.
I have plenty of jerky.
No deer sticks.
I know, we're not talking about sticks, though. We're talking about jerky.
Deer sticks are deer sticks. And turkey jerky, see, it rhymes. Deer sticks.
I'll have some deer sticks as
awesome.
Well.
I love that. You bring that
I had a gentleman that wanted to trade me for a bag of turkey jerky for some deer sticks. And I wanted to save Ava here.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks.
So you could quit giving her a hard time.
I know that won't happen.
He's giving my husband a hard time.
Yeah. She didn't have anything to do with it.
I had nothing to do with that.
I have to. Because she's married.
Right.
To him. I suppose. Provide suggestions.
We are one.
Yes, you are. Wow.
I can't pass the blame,
Do we have a tip this week?
We do have a tip this week. And it does involve... Hey, it was like, wow, good segue there. Got me out of that one.
Yeah, it did.
Thanks, Don. It's all about the segue and not a two-wheel vehicle either. Fishing. Lot of rain across the whole Midwest. And river systems are the... note of the day, probably, because there's a lot of ice-ridden lakes in the northern parts of the states here.
Yep.
And one of the things that we find, and we're fishing dirty water, obviously coloration is going to be a big thing. So jigging in dirty water, you can do a couple things. Number one, darker colors work extremely well, believe it or not. Darker colors actually give off more ambient or color or visible whatever light than do a bright color, because they require light to emit a color. And the black does an amazing job. Purples do an amazing job and works in just about any color condition of the water. Understand that if you're looking, and many of the guys out there that fish the Detroit River know this, when the water chocolates up, you immediately go to hand lining, or if you don't, not familiar with that, you simply take two floating Rapalas and work it off of a three-way, and they're put in line, nose or back to nose, and on about a 28-inch lead, put a floating Rapala, then take a 28-inch sectional line with a clip, clip it onto the back of that Rapala, and attach another one behind that. And it does the same effect, but with that dirty water, it gives the fish a chance to look at it, and you simply move across the current, and you move it about 0.6 miles an hour up and down the brake line. And when you're marking fish, then they are going to crush it. And that's the big difference. So understanding what the muddy water can be. Now, if you have debris, add a split shot to your line to keep the debris off of your hooks. If it's jigging, generally that's not a problem if you're vertical jigging. But if you're doing any sort of trolling upriver or in a lake where you have a lot of debris, put a split shot on the line that will retain the debris off of the hook or off of your bait. And if you're trolling cranks, same thing holds true. A lot of times you can get cotton that will slide down the line and ball up on your bait, and it really prevents it from getting fouled out. So
well, there's lots of things that happens throughout the year, including yep. the little shrimp, whatever you call them.
The ash seeds. Yes. And you'll find leaves as well. So a lot of things can be churned up in that scenario. So just be aware.
That's a good idea.
There's a lot of things that really can give you and help you be successful on lakes or rivers where the water has gotten dirty. If you have an influx of a river into a lake, that is the same kind of thing. But realize, too, those areas have warmer water. And what do the fish look for this time of year? They're looking for warmer water. So that's you'll find your active fish.
Right.
So tip for you. How about that for
That's a good one.
Fun. Yeah. So hang tight. We are going to be jumping back in right after a couple words for you. And some snake-like creature was found in Michigan. I'll have to figure out what that was. Stay tuned. We always like people to check us out on Facebook and where else, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Lots of cool stuff.
The Valley Outdoors.
The.
See, I'm so happy when he's here because he handles that part for me.
I know.
There's
too
much pressure.
Then you don't have to do it.
Too much pressure.
Because you know I'll give you grief if you don't say it right.
I better say it right.
Remind me.
Wouldn't
I got
that
a story.
Be sad?
I got a story to tell you about later.
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 Oh, no.
That. Yeah.
Wow.
Are you going to be talking about me?
No.
Okay.
Me?
No.
Okay, good.
No. The Valley Outdoors.
Oh, the
our
well,
website.
That's good.
Oh,
all right. Well, is that going to be off-air conversation?
Yes.
Oh, okay. If you only knew the off-air conversations we had, folks, you would be absolutely thrilled. just like
I should just record the whole time.
You should. That would be great. We're rolling. Oh, we have been? Yep, the last 30 minutes.
And that's the show, my friends.
And that's it. Wrap it up. Don?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about elk applications coming up. And they're now available for the 2022 Black Hills Firearm Elk, Archery Elk, Prairie Firearms Elk, Custer State Park Firearms Elk, and Custer State Park Early Archery Elk, Bighorn Sheep, and Mountain Goat Seasons.
South Dakota.
That's a mouthful. And,
you know, I
South Dakota.
Yep. If you watch some of the shows that are out there, the TV type, and the guys that are hunting all the time, every year, they literally have to be putting in for preference points for all of the species in every state.
They have to
take a small fortune just to buy preference points. I saw one the other day. He had waited 20 years to get this particular tag. You know, and it was for like a bear or something. Well, you can go hunting bear in Canada.
Yeah.
In a year, you know. So there's places where you can accomplish that hunt if you want. I don't have that many years left to try this, so.
Well, the applications are due online by Wednesday, May 25th, by 10 a.m. Central Time. Paper applications need to be postmarked no later than May 16th. Again, that's postmark no later than May 16th, and that's at Go Outdoors South Dakota.
All of those sites are available on our website. Yep. If you just go to the image of the United States, click the state you're interested in. Yep. For example, I'm planning to apply for a antelope tag this coming October. Those tags have to be applied for by the end of May. So we've just got a few weeks left that you have to put in for those.
And we'll highlight some of those coming up in the next show probably.
Sure.
We'll talk a little bit about that. Season coming up, Don. Fishing opener.
Yep.
It's a big deal. Wisconsin opens May 7th, the big opener for
it's probably
angling,
today.
Open water angling, and all regulations and license requirements apply no matter where you decide to fish. Non-residents and residents over the age of 16 are required to buy a fishing license. You can buy them through the DNR website and access through our portal as well. And they will also want to make sure that you always are safe. So wearing a life jacket when, in my case, wearing a life jacket is an important thing. And I'll tell you in a minute why, but always wearing life jackets, safe and sober boating, know the regulations, catch and release, catch, photograph, and release, and reduce the spread of aquatic invasive species.
So right.
They like to hitch right on your boat or trailer to the next lake.
That's right.
Heard
We've
that
heard
before?
That already.
Hey, don't forget your
show.
Don't forget your lanyard.
Don't forget your plug.
And your plug. Yep. Don't forget your lanyard if you're
exactly.
If you're in the boat.
That is a requirement. You need to have that on, otherwise it is a fine. So one of the tournaments, and I'm not going to say which one, but there was a tournament recently in South Dakota, and the conditions were marginal. And there was a fiberglass boat that was running one direction. And with the limited visibility, another aluminum boat did not see this other boat and T-boned the fiberglass boat with the tournament anglers in it. There was non-tournament anglers in the other boat, the aluminum boat. They impacted. Thank goodness everybody's okay. But they had their safety lanyard, the driver did. Last minute, he saw the boat coming, turned the boat, it pitched the boat up at an angle high enough where the rub rail and the other part of the boat took the brunt of it. But there was a severely broken leg, cracked ribs, glass in the eyes as the windshield was completely broken out at that point. But it really, with the opener coming up, and there can be marginal weather conditions, you guys, and this gentleman was a friend of mine that was driving, and he said, I couldn't do anything. All of a sudden, the boat was there, and it just crushed the hull. The boat's obviously totaled. Both boats are totaled, and they were just very fortunate for everybody to be alive. And having a kill switch on is a major, major part of that because it killed the engine and did not allow the boat to careen out of control and therefore throw somebody out. And it's it's surreal when you see the photos. It's when you hear the person tell the story, it's even more, wow, that could happen to you or me. And that's one of the biggest issues that comes into play.
You know, I've had, I've actually had a friend in a tiller boat, and thank goodness he had his life jacket and his lanyard on. But the motor literally slipped out of his left hand, and it snapped and threw him like a missile right out of the boat. And he told me that his biggest concern was when he bobbed back up to the surface, he was going to see the boat coming around to hit him. And he said he was so glad just to see it floating.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's to get to the boat and then try to get in by yourself. That's one thing. But if nothing else, you can hold on to the edge of the boat because there's in that particular area, there's a lot of traffic. Somebody would come to your aid. But
yeah. So just be safe out there. We've had an experience, and it was a personal experience with that event, and it could have been worse. But thank goodness the safety protocols were followed, and they are okay.
That's a good thing.
So, yeah, really good thing. Fishing forecast real quick. Wisconsin kind of providing a little heads up on this. Obviously, it's fishing. Spring's been slow to arrive, but they said the panfish should be obviously in the warm bays.
Right.
Northern bays are going to be the key.
Right.
As long as you don't have to drill a hole through the ice to get to them, you'll be okay. That may be the first year you can actually pull up alongside the ice and then drill a hole in your boat.
Yeah. And that's and I think that we're going to see some of that in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, and cooler temperatures have delayed some of the spawning in northern parts of the state, and they will be obviously hanging in very short, very shallow water at that point. And anglers can still expect to find plenty of walleye over 15 inches in the St. Louis River and along the Lake Superior South Shore, which is a fun place to fish. I love that. And steelhead are just finishing their spawning runs, so anglers still find them in the rivers and harbors, and there is a good bunch of fish doing that. So that's kind of a super fun thing, I will say. So, hey, tell you what, we've got another break coming up. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies? Don, it's just, I love how the season starts to play out with the fishing, and everybody gets excited. It's kind of like hunting season. You know, it's just that charged up, hey, this is going to be, it's coming, it's going to be there. And looks like we're going to have some warming weather, I think. Unfortunately, we'll have some
precipitation. Well, eventually it will be. I mean, my concern was we were going to go from winter to summer and totally miss spring.
We pretty much did.
And that happened here a few years back, and it's not near as enjoyable.
No.
I mean, the tulips aren't up yet, and we're probably going to be hitting.
You know what's even worse?
Some warmer weather coming.
Going from summer to winter.
In a flash.
That's happened before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, keep in mind, in May, the 13th of May or 15th, we had 10 inches of snow. Everything was blooming, and then it snowed.
Right.
And a disaster ensued. Because all of those branches held the snow, broke trees, it was a mess.
I've been to Governor's fishing openers and had 5 inches of snow in the bottom of the boat.
So
we haven't even mentioned that it's Mother's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mother's Day is awfully early this year.
It's a week early. Yeah. Normally fishing opener Minnesota is
on the same day.
Right.
And this time, Wisconsin gets to enjoy that.
Oh.
Right?
We don't talk about them. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh! By the way, Wisconsinites, that was Ava.
Vikings fan and Packer fan.
It's all good.
Yeah. They're different.
Just a little.
Unique.
And I had to marry a Packer fan, too. Yeah. So.
Hey, I'm going out with one, so.
Okay. Well, you and I can talk later.
Commiserate later. Yeah, there is that.
Misery loves company.
Exactly. But that's all right. Everybody understands our situation. I hit this story at the top of the show. A strange snake-like creature washed up dead on the shores of Lake Michigan, Don. As giant sea monsters go, this a dissected specimen appears to have been dead for a while. And roughly 2 feet long, the skull the size of a human fist, narrow body, and skin that appears almost furry in places. The mysterious creature generated a good bit of confusion when the discoverer shared photos of it when he was running across the shores of Lake Michigan. He found this thing, he said, at the Montrose Beach Dunes and described himself as a journalist, photographer, copy editor, and otherwise outdoors person. He said, it's a sign of the apocalypse. It's a big head carp. It's a merman. It's a who knows what. I can't even say it. How about that? Apparently, it was no prank. And the social network of naturalists and biologists who map observations of biodiversity around the globe, they produced a reasonable answer.
Which is?
I can't make this up. It's a lotta lotta.
A lotta lotta.
It's a lotta lotta. The only freshwater member of the cod family, variously known as the burbot, coneyfish, mudblower, lingcod, eel pout, and et cetera, whatever you want to call them. Anglers sometimes catch them when targeting lake trout. Others know them as a rare treat. I don't know if you ever had poached burbot or eel pout, but it is absolutely fantastic. Poor man's lobster is what they call it.
Right, I have.
And granted, once upon a time, the slimy bug-eyed wonder looks across between an eel and catfish gets a bad rap. I don't like them when they come in the boat. In fact, I'll probably cut the line or shake them off because I just don't like them.
An eel pout?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Don't want to touch it?
No, I'll touch it. I just don't want to put it in the deal. So, in the live well. The butt of much tomfoolery, including the now defunct festival, whose attractions included eel pout curling. Don, that's one of the reasons I put this story on there, just for Don.
I'm liking it.
Burbot is making a comeback, once considered well deserved by anglers who praise its fight and flavor. In fact, the popularity with recreational anglers has grown to the point that Minnesota actually reclassified burbot from a rough fish to a game fish and instituted daily limits for the first time this year. So, Don,
I think I have caught some, but I don't know that I know the methodology that you would go out and attempt to purposely catch eel pout.
You got the catfish thing down pat.
I was going to bring that up earlier, but
first strike, I had to do that.
You get the catfish, I get the jerky.
Right.
Yep.
This next story is pretty awesome. I mentioned it off air. You and I are talking, and you saw the video, YouTube video of a gentleman that was out with his remote control boat, and he'd have a little lure behind the boat, probably 8 feet up behind the boat, and he hooked a bass.
Yep.
And
the boat lost.
The boat didn't have enough juice to pull the bass, right? So then you end up having to pull it in hand over hand.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Once you get to the boat, you have to get the boat first.
Right.
In this particular case, a Texas man catches a 9.5-foot tiger shark with the help of a drone. Tiger shark.
Okay.
The angler dropped his baited hook into a long distance ways offshore using a drone. A San Antonio man used the drone in his battle against the 9.5-foot shark over the weekend in Port Aransas, Texas. Been there, about 20 miles east of Corpus Christi. He said he used the drone to drop his bait hook into the ocean hundreds of yards offshore. So he hooks up the bait, flies it way out.
And then just drops it.
And then lets it go and drops it. Once he hooked the beast, he ran his rod down to the beach and reeled it in for 2 hours. Exhausting and exciting to catch one of these fish that is on his bucket list. He's been saltwater fishing for the last 5 years and grateful to learn a lot of pointers from local fishermen. He measured the fish at 9.5 feet before releasing it, and those fish can be found up and down the coast. So, should that be legal?
Should it be legal?
Probably not.
Does it matter? And the reason I say that is, how many people have a drone that can do that? They're probably $3,000-$4,000.
Well, some of them are relatively inexpensive, but
yeah, they're not going to have the ability to drop things. They're going to fly around with a little camera and send back a picture.
Yeah,
that's true.
But those that have that capability are probably a pretty expensive drone.
They can be.
Yeah. I think it would only be interesting if they would hook the lion up to the drone.
And then the drone goes bye-bye.
Well, we'll see how long the drone can fight it before it
that would be
learns
entertaining.
To swim. Yeah.
A 9.5-foot shark would win every time.
Yeah, but then now you're polluting if it goes in the water.
Oh, you'd have to chase it, but then the shark would have it and you
wouldn't
get it back.
Well, if you're going hundreds of yards out and you're not with it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they, you know, it's the other side of that is I believe they actually use kites for the same purpose.
Yeah, but the kite is attached to a line. The line is released from the kite once
right.
you hook the fish.
Right.
It's the same thing as an outrigger, downrigger, or something like that, only this is remote control. That's why
right.
I posed the question, because it's putting technology to use
versus the wind
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Well, hey, we'll let someone else
you know
decide
what?
That.
That's a if you got an answer or you have an opinion on it, send it in to The Valley Outdoors.
Yeah, you can comment on the website.
It's info at, isn't it?
No, there's a place right on there. You just go in and send us an email.
Valley Outdoors website, thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Yep.
Throw it in there.
And have a fishing license.
Give us your opinion and see what you think. Yeah, exactly. Works for us. All right. Well, that wraps the show, Don, Ava. Thanks, you guys.
You bet.
And thanks, you guys, in the home, car, boat, listening audience, wherever you guys are at. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. See ya.